held at home. It's a sure win, right? Sherwin Williams.
Punch me in the face, please.
My Lord.
I'm trying to go deep here.
Yo doesn't have a doghouse. He has a left winger next to Koivu.
The finished conspiracy.
Booga booga, I eat poopy diapers.
And he can't score the puck if he can't shoot the goal.
It's been known to the state of California to cause cancers.
Well, this is the fanciest setup I've ever seen for a goddamn podcast with 50 listeners.
It's a love affair.
And welcome to episode 66 of Three in the Box, your underground wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, March 22nd, 2015. This is Aaron, and in this week's episode, we talk about playoffs, rule changes, and Edina real estate. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And Jive.
Hey, hey.
So, it's Sunday night.
I thought you were going to say Edina Realty.
Edina Realty. Hey, they didn't give us any money yet.
Yeah. Pay yeah. up, pay yeah. up, suckers.
Yeah. We might have to go back and bleep that one out.
Yeah, they're not getting anything free from us, damn it.
No. That one company.
That one company that sells land and associated buildings. We won't even mention real estate just to spite them. So it's
apparently every day they need attention.
They do.
Well, it is in their name, right? So it's Sunday now. We've got snow going on.
It's like a snow globe outside.
Yeah, depressingly.
Yeah.
We're in spring and snowing.
Yeah. Well, you know what that means.
What does that mean?
That means it's still winter here. That means we get to continue hockey for a while.
Well, we were going to do it anyway.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Dude, if they can make ice in California, we don't need snow outside.
If they can play hockey in June in California... Yes. You're goddamn right. We can play hockey in Minnesota in March.
Although with
right.
all the college tourneys going on between Minneapolis and St. Paul, I think the snow came a day late.
Yeah, you're probably right. Although, from what I've heard, the attendance wasn't exactly stellar at the tournaments over this weekend. So
I haven't heard anything. I know downtown, surprisingly, downtown Minneapolis, parking wasn't exceptionally horrible at all. It was actually quite easy to get in and out of.
Probably because they're charging, you know, $20 to park.
Or... Yeah, 15 right. like across the street for, you know, having most of their spaces open.
Well, isn't the Target Center just the best venue to go watch hockey at, though?
Or anything. Right. Especially basketball.
Well, the X is already booked up.
It was.
With the better of the teams.
It's like, it's got to be a slap in the face to... One of the two, right? I mean, who booked first? That's what I'd really like to know.
I'm going to guess that is probably the Big Ten. Or, no, I guess that wasn't... Was that even Big Ten?
Yeah, I believe it was, yeah.
I'm going to guess that they probably booked first and got the X.
You're probably right, because...
I mean...
That would be... That would have been
the hockey venue in Minnesota.
Right. Yeah, you're probably right on
but,
that.
But, I mean, without actually knowing... Although, I mean, I got to say, I saw... A boatload of Sioux jerseys and some Wisconsin, but mainly a ton of Sioux at the bar this weekend.
Well, the Wisconsin people they watched the games in St. Paul and then went over to Minneapolis to have a good time.
Well, St. Paul's a little closer to home for them too, I guess. But I mean, it was kind of. Even though I didn't want to see, you know, North Dakota jerseys, it was nice actually seeing some that still said Sioux with the Indian head on it.
Yeah, not many of those left around.
Oh, there was a ton. I did see some Parisi ones, though. A lot of people rocking those.
Give it a few years, I think.
Yeah, it'd be less and less common.
Yeah. Or if they ever do come up with, I think they got a couple more years before they have to decide on a name more.
So
I guess they could just leave it without a name.
Then you didn't see any protesters out there protesting?
I did not. But then again, I mean, as Aaron had alluded to earlier, the attendance wasn't very high. So maybe, maybe even the protesters didn't hear about it.
Oh. Well, you know, before we get to the wild stuff, I'd just like to remind everyone that you can follow us on Twitter. We're at 3 in the box. That's at the number 3 in the box. So let's get to wild talk. Well, it's been many weeks since the Wild had a losing week. Episode 57, for those that are keeping track at home.
I think you were the only one keeping track. That's because it's on our doc.
I wasn't keeping track even. It just happened to be tracked for me. And you know, this week is no different. The Wild go 2-1 with a thrilling overtime win in Nashville, 17 seconds into the overtime period, yeah. I believe. Fastest road overtime win in Wild history. Fastest home win was Koivu, I think, in 2013.
Yeah, that one was, what was that?
That
one
was 15
like?
Seconds.
Yeah.
So it was pretty close, you know, to being the record. And then, you know, so we had that win in Nashville, basically a blowout against the Blues yesterday.
It basically screwed the Blues twice.
Yeah.
In 1 week.
And then, you know, we had a 3-2 loss at home against Ovechkin and the Caps. Notable performances this week, not including Dubnyk, because, you know, we talk enough about him already.
Man, can't say enough, but yeah.
Right. You know, Coyle, he had 4 points on the week, including 2 goals against the Preds and then 2 helpers against the Blues. Mm-hmm. Suter with 3 points on the week, and I think they were all assists, actually. And the beast mode moment that set up the Dumba's game-winning goal against the Predators.
Yeah, when how he escaped out of there, and, I mean, he barely kept his balance, but just enough to get the puck up the ice. I mean, yeah.
I felt like he was on his knees at one point, like dangling the puck, and then got back up, and he just figured out a way to get the puck out of the zone and ended up leading to the game-winning goal that...
He was trying to get back to his natural gliding stance.
Yeah.
This was not gliding, and it wasn't graceful like we usually see out of him, but it was, I mean, I felt that was great to see, you know, that kind of, you know, just digging and grit. And
you don't see that a whole lot from him.
No.
He sure did.
You saw that he cared.
and that led to a Dumba's monster blast to win the game.
I'm liking that kid.
Yeah, you know, speaking of Dumba, I don't know if he's really been getting enough credit for the way he's turned his game around this season. He took a demotion, you know, earlier in the year, and since he's come back, he's been nothing short of spectacular. Before the All-Star break, he was a -1 in 23 games with 2 goals. In the 25 games since the All-Star break, he's a +14 with 5 goals. That's, you know,
my Lord,
you can't really argue with those results. I mean,
no.
He's picking up his game offensively and defensively. He's not putting himself in dumb positions to be beaten defensively. You can make the argument that, you know, the Wilds owe their success to him just as much as Dubnyk. I think I could, at least. I mean, you can't argue with Dubnyk's success, but really you can't really argue with Dumba's success
not at
either.
All.
So what are your thoughts on Dumba's performance?
You know, I haven't seen a Wild D like this since Brent Burns. I mean, just how he's been playing offensively. I mean, we've seen Spurgeon step up offensively, you know.
You see that with Scandella.
We see it with Scandella, but Dumba, I really see him trying to be more of the offensive blue liner. Especially he's got the feel for scoring right now, and he wants to get more.
And he wants to shoot. I mean, you'll see him skate up there, and he's been getting a lot of power play minutes.
Yeah.
And you just see him there waiting for one-timers, stick in the air. Yep. And it's like, uh-oh.
Right here.
He's got a shot on him. And even the ones that he's not full-on slap shot, he's got a very quick, very fast snapshot, too, that is deadly. If he can get some, a little bit, I mean, it's not that his accuracy is horrible right now, but if he can get just a little bit more of a sniper shot on him, he's going to be one hell of a blue liner. I mean, especially on a power play situation where you've got a little bit more open ice.
Right.
And, I mean, I can only agree with you guys. I mean, there can't be enough said about the way that he's obviously been playing of late. And I think even before, when he was the -1, as you said, in those 23 games, was that before the All-Star break?
Right.
Really, he was, I mean, even at that time, I don't know
if we had many guys that were plus at that point.
We were discussing, though, like, how often the Wild won when he was in the lineup.
He was, yeah, because, I mean, he was here in the early part of the season.
Right.
And we were winning at the early part. And he gets demoted, and, well, we kind of start losing.
Right. So, obviously, he was a positive... positive influence at that time too,
or there's at least a correlation. I don't know about causation, right. But
and I mean, lately, I mean, I still see, you know, he will make rookie mistakes,
but yeah, I mean, you see that from all players, though.
Right? And even veteran players make bonehead moves sometimes, yep. And you know, I mean, he's only learning, and I I'm excited for the future with this guy, you know? So
I mean, well, with that, you know, we've got Scandella back. We've got Spurgeon back. Yeah, obviously, we traded for Leopold. Follin's been doing well since he's been called up. And then you still have Prosser. So, as it is, we've got a crowded blue line. Yep. I think right now, last couple games, we've sat Follin and Prosser. Prosser was ailing, so it helped that decision. But I think if he's not healthy, he's close to being healthy. Mm-hmm. You know, what does this team look like come playoff time or down the stretch? I mean,
I think it's a good problem to have. And I mean, it kind of comes into the topic later in the episode too. But I think having a little bit more depth like this, being able to actually sit like some of the guys that are maybe on the fence of being hurt, and you don't want to completely, you know, put them out to just get really beat on, having some of these options where you can just even give them a day off to rest and maybe rotate out some of your defensemen to kind of keep them a little bit more healthy and not nearly as banged up.
And that's true, but at this point right now, I honestly think that Dumba has solidified his spot. The way that he's been performing offensively and being a big part of the power play, which the power play is actually, dare I say, getting on track now.
Right.
It's still not great, but we've been putting some pucks in the net on the power play at least. So, you know, but that's the thing. It becomes a tough call when. But this is good. This is what you want.
This is what depth looks like.
Right. You want to have the depth. You want to have guys scratching to play. You know. You don't. Right. I mean, if a guy doesn't have any reason to go out there and perform because he knows Joe Schmo behind him has no fighting chance.
So basically, you're saying, you know, I'm guessing that you would say Scandella, Spurgeon, Brodin, and Suter are your top four. Or Dumba, I guess, could be intertwined in there. Those are your top five, I'm guessing, is what you're trying to say.
Yep.
So then, if there's a playoffs tomorrow, or you're Yo, and we're playing a game tomorrow, do you start Leopold, Prosser, or Follin?
This is a tough question. And if the playoffs were to start tomorrow, I guess at this point, I would choose Leopold. He has, in my mind, the most experience. He's got the playoff experience, and
he's played with just about every team in the league, so he'll probably know our potential opponent,
right?
Because he's probably played with him at one point.
Yeah. And I mean, that said, I mean, he's been around the league, but I mean, that also comes with a little bit of veteran knowledge. I think
he's had a lot of trade deadline moves.
Yep.
So, I mean, you know, he's been trade bait, or not trade bait, rental player status before. And you know, I think that's a plus for Leopold, especially coming into playoff times right now.
Sure, sure.
I mean, you know, especially having that experience. But I don't know. I think they're just going to have to keep rotating right now and maybe bring two defense. Although, I mean, I feel that we've had this discussion before with having depth amongst our D and like, oh, we got some guys down in Iowa. All of a sudden we're like short on guys again. Like, oh, who do we have to call up?
The thing is the depth in Iowa doesn't really matter. It's the depth on our scratch list. And we haven't even had depth there, really.
No, right.
And now we really do. The problem is, you know, when we get a forward back, we've already got a goalie taking up one spot of that scratch list, and now we've got two D-men. So we've got no more room.
We're going to have to cut bait with someone. And I think it's going to be Backstrom.
All right. Because we do have, a couple forwards that have been talking, that have been skating.
Right.
You know, you mentioned that Scandella did return yesterday.
Yep.
And then we got Carter and Zucker have been so. And with that said, I mean, with them returning, I mean, it looks like we're getting, knock on wood, you know, a little bit healthier here. And Scandella, he returned. You mentioned that makes the defensive ranks just that much more clogged up.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if Zooks and Carter, if they make it back in, I mean, look at the situation that we're in with our forwards here, you know?
Right.
I'm hoping for Zucker back. I mean, soon, because having his speed is great.
Agreed. But we've got a lot of people who are playing really well right now.
It's like there's not a person where it's hard to pick one person on this team where you go, they're really not cutting it right now.
No, because even down to the fourth line is clicking with that line. Right. It's like that's normally your scratch line of, okay, who's going to be on fourth line? And it's like, do you really want to break up that line right now?
Yeah. If Zucker and Carter were able to make it back, who would you be looking to scratch right now?
I mean, if you look at this last week here,
I would guess
Holla maybe.
Stewart would probably be on the chopping block, but even he's had a great week.
No way is it Stewart.
No way.
You look at over this past week here. I'm just using this past week as an example. There are three players without a point. That's going to be Bergenheim, which I think he could possibly
be a scratch.
He could be
Brodziak. But he's been playing great on the PK.
He's got
the draws going.
He can't score on a shorthander, and he seems to always miss when he's got a perfect opportunity to score.
But you know
and
what? That's not always that's taking time off of that. It's PK.
Well, even in a non PK situation, he'll be sitting there and it'll be like he Brodziak it.
He got a few assists this week though, didn't he?
Nope, zero.
Wow,
he was actually a -2 on the week. So,
ooh.
And then Holla is another one. No points in this past week. Also -2. Actually, Bergenheim, Brodziak, Kala, all no points, all -2 on the week. In three games on this week. I think you probably could. And Hall has been also great on the penalty kill. I think Bergenheim would probably be the first one.
Yeah.
But, you know, if Carter's coming back, I go, where does he really fit in? Is he actually more valuable than Bergenheim? I don't even know.
Yeah, but, right. You know, Bergenheim was benched for down where
in Florida.
Well, I think he got benched after he said he wanted to get traded.
Right, and honestly, Bergenheim, when he's been in the playoffs, he's been a monster. Yeah, I don't,
it's another Finn.
I mean, I think it's something like 12 points in 23 playoff games or something like that. I mean,
can we just dress like 27 players?
Right.
Well, these are first world hockey. Hockey prop.
Why don't? But if Carter and Zucker come back, well, if one of them comes back, it's gonna be we have to get rid of Backstrom at some point, right here.
We're gonna have to.
I mean, Fletcher. Who's Fletcher gonna send down? I don't think he has really options even to send anyone down.
You know. Oh, you know. I just had a brilliant idea. Why don't we just dress Bergenheim and Granlund both in 64? They look somewhat similar. We'll just swap them out in between periods or when one's getting a little tired.
See, if Vancouver is smart, they'd do that with the Sedins. and they would never know.
Oh, so speaking of Sedins, on an offshoot story, I saw both sweaters on St. Patrick's Day walking around the casino. One dude was wearing a Henrik and one dude was wearing a Daniel. I'm presuming they both work for the casino because they're walking around with the sweaters tucked into their pants.
who
tucks in a hockey sweater? That's why I'm thinking they're like management or something. Where, yeah, feel free to wear whatever team you want, but you got to keep your shirt tucked in. Sorry, I total offshoot on what we're talking about. But
about the only jersey where I go, okay, you want to tuck it in, that's okay.
Baseball.
And even then, that on a fan.
Or basketball.
If you're going for old school, maybe, I guess.
No, because they keep their jerseys tucked in.
Do they?
Yeah.
Not all of them. I didn't think.
I thought they did.
I think it depends on the team and their uniform.
Well, now they got like the stupid like short sleeve, like short sleeve things.
I love this new podcast, Three to the Net.
Three to the net.
No, it's a 3-point play.
Oh boy.
Oh, all right. We gotta stop.
Basketball.
Apparently, our producer's been on top of it with what we've been saying.
So, okay, back to Zucker and Carter. So, okay, one of them comes back. We've got to move someone, scratch someone, right?
I think you're right.
Because I don't think we can have anyone to even send down. So who do you either...
Can we still send Hollow down? Can Hollow go back? Or has he played too many games? Would we have to put anybody on waivers now to send them down?
That's kind of what I'm thinking. I mean, maybe Dumba, but there ain't no way in hell that's going to happen.
Well, Dumba's already played over 50 games this season.
Yeah. No, he hasn't. 48.
I thought it was 23 and 25.
Yeah, that's 48.
Oh, did I do my math wrong? 40. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I totally math. Bad math.
Nerds!
Sorry.
It's okay. Okay, so...
Regardless, I think that's still more than
right
allowed without him.
So let's presume we can't send anyone down to the AHL. Aside from Follin, I think Follin might be able to be sent down. Maybe he's the one who draws the short stick on that.
Just probably. Because he can go back down.
Right.
Ouch, man, that's got to be tough. Like, dude, you've been playing great, but we need to lose a guy, and...
We're not willing to cut Backstrom yet. Yeah. However, if... Zucker comes back.
Ooh, how pissed would a Swede be for having to go down because of a Finn?
Why is it always got to be about where you're from?
No, the Swedes and Finns just already, you know, it's the hockey thing. They don't like each other.
You're a racist.
I'm Swedish and Finnish.
So if Zucker and Carter are both back... Do the Wild actually cut bait with Backstrom?
I think so. I think they're going to have to. Backstrom's got to see the writing on the wall right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see the Wild keeping him beyond the end of the season anyways.
Right.
Whatever kind of hit they're going to have to take, they'll have to take, but...
I mean...
It's going to happen, right?
When you think about it, over the last couple of years with Backstrom, I mean, he's had several, shall we call them, comeback attempts, you know, where he's come in to try to play and
wasn't so successful.
Yeah.
Well, we're looking at 10 games left in the season right now, and then we're at playoffs. How many games now has Dubnyk played in a row?
31
games in a row.
31 and 32 will be tomorrow.
Well, 31 including the one that he had played back in
right
in Phoenix before
right.
joining the Wild.
He's
played 30 in a row though with the Wild.
Obviously, yep. As long as he's healthy, he's going to be our playoff goalie. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
Yeah.
At the very most, we have a second goalie come in for maybe. 3 games tops.
If that,
I mean,
yeah.
At this rate, I mean, statistically, we got 3 back to backs left.
And you think
it's going to happen, it's going to be at them back to backs.
Yeah. And
unless if our position
right.
is secured and we do have a chance to rest them. But even at that point, right now, do you test the fate
right.
of resting a goalie who's just. I mean,
who's super hot right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, he's in his zone.
But on a back-to-back, you figure you got it.
And like
yeah.
I said, I mean, we've got 3 back-to-backs left
right.
in the next 10 games, which it seems awfully ridiculous, but...
We got 2 in the
two in this week.
Right in the next week here, you know.
So, speaking of Dubnyk, for Dubnyk, who started the last 30 straight games for the Wild, 31 going back with his game in Phoenix, He now has a place to call home. Nope. The Wild have not signed him to a multi-year deal. They have not signed him to a multi-million dollar deal.
They will.
But he does have a place to hang his hat and for him and his family now. I guess since joining the Wild, they've been staying in a hotel.
Motel 8 by the freeway.
Classy.
Somewhere in North Minneapolis.
Oh, great. Yeah. Let's
send
our best
then that's,
asset.
Then that's not the Motel 8. It's the Motel 6, I think.
Well, it could be it? The Starlight in Hilltop.
Yeah. Because yeah. I think it's the Super 8 in the Motel 6, right?
I don't know. Yeah.
We gotta make sure not to be giving them any more advertisements here.
That's right. We got a lot of people to collect from here. But anyways, at least for now.
We keep saying their names, will they just send us money?
He's got a place to stay with his family. Parisi stepped up and offered Dubnyk a home that he had. I think he got it from...
Schultz.
Yeah, Nick Schultz. He picked it up.
Schultz 55. Yeah. Not to be confused with Dumba 55.
Yes. prior bar discussion.
Yes.
So now Dubnyk has a place to call home in
Maybe Dumba
Edina.
Should have bought his house.
Apparently he needs attention every day, right?
Now it comes back to Edina.
Yep.
Damn it.
But now that is at least one less thing for Dubnyk to have to worry about, and he can continue to focus on being Dubnyk for the Wild here, right?
Well, what if this is bad? What if he was staying like at the St. Paul Hotel right across the street from the X,
where
and now he's got a commute?
Of, right.
And he gets into it with this crap that we got coming down outside right now. He gets into a car accident on the way to
he's
practice.
He's from Calgary. He knows it's driving snow. I mean, come on.
Oh, okay.
But.
Regina, actually.
But what if this was a really dump of the house, and that's why Parisi had it on the market for so long, and he just, oh, yeah, I've got this great house. Why don't you come? Yeah. I'll sell it to you
for
real cheap.
For a great deal. Yes.
What's his front foundation falling into?
Foundation's caving in. It's got mold.
You know. We get, Russo tweets tomorrow, Dubnyk has black plague.
Oh, no.
So, but anyways, as I mentioned, though, the Wild haven't given him any sort of a deal extension or contract extension. But the article that we're referencing here, there was talk from, you know, basically both sides, and it seems that there's interest coming from both parties. So,
well, I don't think Fletcher wants to shoot himself in the foot like he did last year at the beginning of this year, where he had three goalies to deal with.
Yeah.
Well, four, I guess, technically. Right. And yeah, last minute.
But then again, he also, you know, it's obvious that the Wild are going to try to pursue Dubnyk, and Fletcher knows that, so he says it. You know, there's no point in trying to hide it. It's very obvious.
Hopefully, his agent's a little bit more cordial than Kemper's.
Well, and that's another thing is Dubnyk knows that he wants to stay here.
Yeah.
So hopefully that means we can find a deal that works for both parties, keeps us low on cap space, so that we can, you know, keep this team running for the next few years,
right?
And also keep Devin and keep him getting paid here for the next few years as well.
Right. So. And yeah, so yeah, I mean, because he's obviously adjusting well here, and we've mentioned here both sides obviously have some sort of an interest in this.
Right.
Pretty sure we kind of found our number one goalie at this point, right? Yeah. I mean,
at least I would say at least for a few years.
Yep. Yeah. So I mean, you know, this is Minnesota, and things can always change, just like
you know,
the weather.
Break your foot, kicking a wall.
Yeah, right. So what kind of a contract do you think Dubnyk will get? I mean, you mentioned him, Aaron, taking maybe a little less so we can, you know, keep up the rest of the team. I mean,
well, and you got to realize if let's say he didn't have a real good thing going on here in Minnesota, mm-hmm. and he wanted to try things out, you know, the other GMs, when they're going to come and bargain with him, are going to go, well, you only have a half a year of actual success.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you're making $800K right now, but you're really not worth that much more because you don't have a track record.
Yeah.
By the time things are said and done, he might have 50 games, you know, if things go really well,
yeah.
somewhere in the ballpark of 50 games, you know, maybe 60 games.
We're going to be pretty deep into the playoffs.
Yeah, but, you know, even then it's only a single season.
Half a season, technically. Right.
Well, even if you're including,
yeah.
you know, his not bad record when he was in Arizona. So he's got that going against him as far as a bargaining perspective.
Yep.
I think there's not going to be a lot of teams looking for goalies, so that probably helps as well from the Wild's perspective.
Yeah.
But I also don't think the Wild are going to shell out a giant contract. You know, I'm thinking maybe 3 years, you know, $4 or $5 million a year, something small, but, you know, deserving for a number one goalie, you know, who's right. actually helped us hopefully turn our season around.
That, I mean, I agree with you as far as like contract length. I think about 3 years, but I want to shoot a little less. I'm going to say maybe $2.5 to $3 million a year.
Sure.
I just partly because, like you said, I mean, he is an unproven goalie, which is why he's making $800,000 right now. I mean, look at how much he bounced around down in the minors. I mean, for all we know, he could just be having one hell of a fluke great season with the Wild currently.
Right.
Yeah, and that's true. You never know. And even with a veteran goalie, I mean, you never know. Like with Backstrom, I mean,
yeah.
You never know when they're just at the end of their rope. I mean, that's the thing. No love lost between me and Backstrom. Not that there was any love ever to begin with. But I mean, his game, I mean, basically has just kind of tailed off and fallen off. And sometimes I think it's unfortunate when goalies or athletes in general, you know, kind of don't know when to say when.
Right.
Well, kind of, you know, go out while you're on top. Don't go out. I mean, I hear about, sorry to bring up football here, but Peyton Manning, you know, talking about coming back again next year. I mean, he continues to get beat up out there. It's going to be another Brett Favre-like situation. I mean, yeah, they're great at the art, their art of what they do. But there comes a point when...
It's hard to argue, though.
You just got to say when.
It's hard to argue, though, with a player that can consistently make it to the playoffs and lead his team to the playoffs.
This is true, but we haven't seen consistency yet.
We haven't. And, you know, and hopefully we'll see that. I think 3 years is not unreasonable. But, you know, going back to what you were saying about players just needing to hang it up, you know, sometimes, though, there's just bad years. And you see a lot of players that, you know, that are over 35 that have one bad year and they're gone. Where you don't know if that they may have turned things around and had a few more years of,
right.
you know, at least league average, you know, production.
I think Briz is a good example of that from last year in particular. I mean, look at the buyout that he got from Philly, you know, years ago because of his performance. And I mean, obviously he didn't win a cup with the Wild, but he did. He took him, you know, played really well.
Right. I think that's a good example. I mean, he has a different view on life, though. So
he's got a different view on everything.
Manning is big.
Are you asking to bring
no
Briz back? No.
Kenny's like, no, Dubnyk. We want Briz back.
How about as a backup?
You know, I could see it. That'd be kind of. I would like that goalie combination.
Well, I think everyone's. Well, you know, I guess if we can free up that $1 million of Kemper money,
well, and see,
bring Briz back. You know,
That's the other thing I'm looking at right now too. Is Backstrom? You know, is under. He's just under $4 million. He's $3.75 million. I don't see them dumping.
Oh, they're not going to pay more than that.
$4 or $5 million into Dubnyk right now.
But right now, Dubnyk for the Wild has played better than Backstrom has ever played for the Wild.
This is true.
And it's not even close. I mean, let's be honest. It's never. Backstrom's always been serviceable.
Right.
You know, no one's ever. I've never heard the crowd chant Backstrom at a Wild game.
Yeah, but Backstrom with that, you know, doesn't just go as well as Dubs.
Well, this is true. I still.
Backs.
Strong. But the difference, I think, is what we're seeing here is that Dubnyk at times makes those stand on your head saves.
Backstrom doesn't.
Backstrom doesn't do that. Backstrom would make the saves that he's supposed to make. And, you know, if the other team provides a, you know, somewhat challenging situation, it's usually going to result in a goal with him.
Right.
I mean, so.
You know, well, and Dubes has slain some of his dragons this year. Was it St. Louis that he could never beat?
Right.
prior, I mean, with any of his teams, and he has now beat them in St. Louis and here. You know, yeah. Got one more game to play. He's been, I don't know. I
slayed his dragons.
Slayed his dragons.
It's a role-playing game for him now.
Actually, I think that was a quote from him.
What, you mean demons?
No, I'm pretty sure it said dragons.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, I play goalie at night, and then after that I go home and I play WoW.
Tim, 1722. Oh, so speaking of St. Louis and playoffs, so we've got 10 games left this season. Wilder's still sitting on top of the wild card spot, still 5 points behind Chicago. I don't foresee that changing from now until the end. For some reason, I just don't see that changing. But only 1 point ahead of the Jets right now. So currently, if the playoffs started today, the first round would be against the Blues. So with the obvious of not wanting to play Anaheim first round, losing all three regular season games to them, the next options currently would be St. Louis, which were 2-0-1. We've had two great games against them in the past, 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Or Nashville, who were 2-1-1 with an overtime win that, again, the last 2 weeks have been, 2-3 weeks have been good to us with Nashville. And there's still one game against each of them. Who do you feel is the closer matchup right now? St. Louis? Nashville? Obviously not Anaheim.
Anaheim still worries me. I mean, I think we played them tough this year. And so, even though it's three losses against them, I think
they were probably all 3 one-goal games. Right. So I believe. Yeah,
so. I don't think they were. I think we do match up well against them. It's just haven't played very well against them. As far as St. Louis, Nashville, on paper, and in previous years, St. Louis has scared me. I don't feel that way right now.
Both of those teams don't look like the teams that they should be right now.
Right. And Nashville, St. Louis has spurts. You know, you have Tarasenko, who is deadly. And he had 2 goals against the Wild, yesterday. Nashville, something's just not right there.
But Rene, I think we really screwed with Rene's head that home loss 3 weeks, 4 weeks back.
But, that being said, out of those 4 games, we went into overtime in 2 of them. So it's not like we're exactly blowing them out of the water.
Right.
You know.
Well, you say that all these games have been fairly close with the exception of the game yesterday against the Blues. 6-3. I mean, even in playoff hockey, that will happen once in a while. That said, I'm not really afraid of playing any team at this point. With the way that the Wild are currently playing, I think that they could go into almost any matchup and have a good chance. Yes, there's some teams that maybe they might have a better chance. I would honestly, I would love to play Chicago right off the bat.
Well,
some paybacks
with the current team sitting in the Western Conference. Anaheim and Chicago are the only two teams we have losing records to.
Right.
Winnipeg, we're 2-0-2, and I think we still have another game against them. Chicago, we're 1-3, and Anaheim, we're 0-3. And then the next closest would be LA, who we have not beaten yet this year either.
But they're not.
They're
on the outside looking in.
Very close to the outside of getting into the Pacific. Right. Not so much the wild card, but the Pacific.
Honestly, the only team that I think I would worry about the Wild matching up against, and that's would be in a potential Stanley Cup matchup against Ottawa, because Ottawa's just as hot as the Wild are, but they're in the East.
And we split the series with Ottawa.
Right.
But, I mean, that was also earlier in the year.
Well, one was earlier and one was recent.
This is true.
And that recent one was another close game. I mean, and it was a fast, clean, pretty clean game, too.
I'd be more worried, I guess, like, if we're going that far ahead, Pittsburgh. Even though Pittsburgh has taken a slump, Pittsburgh whooped up on us both times this year.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And, I mean, then you look at the Rangers, who we lost once, we have one more game against the
Honestly,
Rangers.
You could probably just look at it and go, we're going to have a tough time against the East if we make it that far.
This is true.
You know? Because I also go to, like, Montreal. It seems like we always struggle against them as well, you know?
We split it with Montreal, I mean, but, again, earlier and later in the season.
Any series is obviously going to be tough, but if the Wild continue playing the brand of hockey that they've been playing, I think that they can match up with pretty much any NHL team out there.
Well, you got a hot goalie, and you kill penalties like nobody's business.
Yeah.
You're going to win some games.
Definitely.
You know? That's just the bottom line right there.
All right, so with that being said, I mean, do you see a team that they would be best off going against first round to help them maybe advance to the second round?
Just overall?
Overall. With kind of where we're currently sitting, maybe throw LA in there.
Buffalo?
We would... Probably
there's multiple reasons we can't play Buffalo first round.
If I'm thinking realistic, I'm gonna go right now today. I'm gonna say the Blues. I mean, considering the way we matched up with against them yesterday, there's not a much. Their goalies don't really scare me at this point, and I think that's the big thing is that their goaltending seems beatable.
Yeah. That definitely helps when you can put pucks in the net. I have to agree.
I mean, it would kind of be nice just for Nashville's sake to hear them boo every time Suter touches the puck. Especially like when you start getting into multiple games in a row.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when Dubnyk just thinks they're cheering for him.
Well, you know, in non-specifically Wild news, looking more league-wide here, it's looking like we'll possibly see two rule changes next year for the next NHL season. First being that two penalty calls, specifically delay of game on pucks out of the defensive zone, and goals due to goalie interference can be challenged or could be challenged under by coaches. Then if the coach loses the challenge, they lose their timeout. Second change would be a 3-on-3 overtime occurring in the back half of the overtime. Currently, the AHL is doing this, and it's a 7-minute overtime with the game switching to 3-on-3 after the first whistle, after the 3-minute mark, if that wasn't confusing enough. and I think everyone from...
3-on-3 after 3.
3-on-3 after 3.
See?
After the first whistle after 3.
After the first whistle after 3. But, you can see what they're trying to do there. Yeah. I think everyone from the fans to the players have been wanting to see fewer shootouts. And when I say fans, I mean like fervent, hardcore fans.
Not average Joe, because your team might be making playoffs.
You're right. And this definitely seems like a somewhat reasonable solution without abandoning the shootout completely, which I think the league wants to keep around for those casual fans that find the shootout exciting. Which I guess it is, but it's not hockey.
Right.
It's a skills competition. Mm-hmm. And in the NHL...
Well, it's a hockey skill.
It's a hockey skill, but why don't they just have a harder slap shot contest at the end of the game?
Well, that's true.
Right, or speed have everybody line up at the red line, and everybody shoot the puck and shoot at the length of the ice and see which team makes more into the...
We'll get one of those little boards like they do in the $1 million shot contest with a tiny little hole.
Yeah.
Or we could do the what was the there was the Parisi comp, not the Parisi comp, was it Parisi? There's one with Brent Burns where Brent Burns took out the mini sticks and the mini goals. I don't remember who did that now, and they made a bet. And whoever Burns lost, we had to get a tattoo of something. But there was another one. Oh, a Suter. And
Oh, basically skills. You're talking the MasterCard commercial, maybe, with Suter and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins?
Yes.
And it was like basically a skills competition.
But they had something stupid on there where they had to,
had some sort of associated bet that was totally not believable, that they came to it on their own decision.
So MasterCard can now pay us money.
Right. They add them to the list. that people we need to collect from.
My honest thoughts on overtime is that it should be a full period. I think if you played a full period of hockey, there's going to be a decision made in there probably 8 or 9 times out
four,
of 10.
4-on-4?
No, go the regular hockey, 5-on-5. Play it just like it's
We've seen this in playoffs in the years past, and I mean, look at how many times we're with 5-on-5. It's gone to 2 and 3 overtimes.
Right.
I mean,
and we see that every year. We see at least a couple games like that.
Yeah.
In the AHL this change cut the number of shootouts almost in a third.
Yeah, I looked at the numbers with that. I mean, that was pretty impressive how much that actually, just having that open ice and that extra couple of minutes, cut down on having to go to a shootout.
And it's in line with what hockey is. They're actually playing the game. I do agree, Jeff. I think, 3 and 4 minutes is an awful short period of time.
Very.
After you've already
That's like a couple shifts, really. Right.
I mean, it seems like you could do 10 minutes even. Five and five.
Right.
That means you're going to be cycling through all your players because that's going to be, especially on the 3 and 3, that's going to be a lot of skating.
I vaguely remember having this discussion before or something similar to this where when you get into that 3-on-3 situation, you put out 1 forward and 2D, you put out 3 forwards. You put out 2 forwards and 1D.
2 skinny, 1 fat.
What if you want all 3 mediums?
Well, that's in. Yeah, I guess there could be strategy and stuff that goes into that. I think that any way you look at it, the league is probably trying to make it so it accommodates television scheduling. We can guarantee that our game will last this long,
Right, and not run over and run into your Babe Winkleman special, right. After the game.
Yeah.
U.S. paintball tourney going on.
Right. So that's 3-on-3. What do we think about the coaches' challenges then?
Boy, if I was a coach, I mean, it's a tough call. If you lose a timeout.
You only get one.
And in hockey, you get one timeout. In other sports, the challenges, I wouldn't say are that costly.
Right.
And usually a timeout you're saving for probably the last minutes of the period.
But right? How many times do we see a delay of game that's inaccurately called to the point where this challenge is actually going to be worth anything? I think we'll see it on the goalie interferences.
Yeah.
Because
that's happened a couple times to the Wild this
year.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we'll see that.
Now, okay, so I don't think they went completely into detail on it, but you challenge, you get it wrong, or the call on the ice stays, you lose your timeout.
Right.
Can you keep challenging?
If you win, maybe.
As long as you still have your timeout available.
But then again, how many goalie interferences are there going to be during a game?
It depends on who's reffing.
Yeah, if it's one of the Brads or Dans.
We could be going all night long.
Well, and I think you mentioned it before, Aaron. Like, maybe they just review every scoring play.
But what about, I think the coaches' ones, though, those are specifically penalties, things that aren't reviewable today.
Right. No, because the goalie interference would be goalie interference on a goal.
Right.
So.
But the interference part is not reviewable.
Right. But, basically what it comes down to is getting the calls right. That's what they want.
They want the calls right without slowing the game down. Right.
Where are they going to limit this at? Because, look at the phantom goal that we saw the other week.
Right.
Had Yo actually known that in, say 3 years down the line where basically the coach can challenge any goal now, how many times is this going to be getting tossed out for a situation like that?
I'm not even saying the coaches have to challenge a goal.
Just make every scoring play reviewed.
Yeah. I mean, in my opinion, basically what determines the ultimate outcome of the game is the goal scoring. So goals are very important.
But penalties, you know, I think the more interesting question is where do you draw the line on the penalties? Because I think of, like, I mean, we see it so often is these dives. I mean, we see our own guys do it. I mean, we're not, you know, the Wild are not, absolved of this accusation. But we see dives all the time. We saw Ovechkin with a heinous dive this week. Dubnyk, I think, had one maybe in Nashville.
Well, and I think, like, the dives are probably too much to give to, I mean, if you think about the pace that game goes in front of the refs' faces, I mean, it happens quick. It happens split seconds, and you might not always be able to make that great of a decision.
So why shouldn't coaches be able to challenge that?
Well,
and it's pretty easy for a coach to go, did it actually happen? Did he actually get him?
And
if the player is adamant that he didn't get him, why shouldn't a coach be able to challenge that? It should be a pretty simple review. Go, oh, yeah, that stick never was even close to his head. He totally flopped on that one.
Yeah, but then you're gonna be reviewing every...
Well,
not if you only get a single one, though.
So then here's the opposite side of that. What happens when, say, a coach keeps calling out a referee on a penalty call, and all the ref decides, well, I'm done dealing with his crap throughout the year, and I'm just going to call less penalties on whatever team they're playing against.
That's a fact of coaching then, right?
I'm just saying, I mean, that the other side of it is, I mean, can you start throwing out for non-penalty calls?
Like what?
Obvious hits to the head that weren't called on the ice because everybody, all the officials' backs were turned.
Yeah, like you should have called a penalty.
Well, I think that this opens the gate for penalties. I don't think it opens the gate yet for saying a penalty wasn't called.
And I think that penalties are kind of subjective. They're, you know, it's really a judgment call.
I would argue though on most dives it's not subjective.
Well,
most of them,
right? But the ref standing on the ice at the time is not always either A, going to have the right angle to see.
Oh, sure.
We might have a different view from the camera angle.
I don't disagree with that.
So what my suggestion would be for this would be, you know, instead of having the embellishment penalty, you start throwing out fines.
That's what they're doing. It's slower than crap.
Well, and okay.
I think PK Subban just was the first one to get just this past week here, get his third fine.
Yeah.
We're almost done with the season.
Right. So it's slow.
Yeah.
You know.
I think this is why they're also maybe doing just the delay of game, because that's something where it's a definite, you can look at the multiple camera angles to see if
it. But it isn't always obvious, you know, especially with it's in a high cameras are moving at that point,
and it's still, regardless, I think that it's still subjective at that point. It may look like somebody's doing something. There's laws of physics. Sometimes it is just blatantly obvious. Yes,
like, but Suter's shooting the puck 2/3 down the ice over the end board.
Right.
But there's a lot of times, though, when...
They put a magnet in there.
You know, things are lifted. You can't always tell. I mean,
it's... Well, that's fine. Then the play stays as it is.
That's why I think that, yeah, I mean...
Don't we want the game to be right, though? I mean,
the game to be right, but they're getting too nitpicky about it, I think, then. Because it's it will slow the game down if you're going to sit here and review all those, tripping calls or holdings.
Well, not if they only get one call a game or one challenge a game. It's pretty simple that way.
Are they going to start arguing for one timeout per period at this point?
You know, maybe. I think there was a good thread on Reddit, though. How are the coaches going to, call for a challenge, though? You know, football, they have those little red flags that they whip out. Yeah. And I don't think they want them doing that at hockey games, you know.
They throw out a blade covers.
they'll just, like, dump the sticks out onto the ice.
One person on Reddit said they'll just throw their bench, because they showed a video of a coach losing his crap and throwing a bench out on the ice. And then it started this whole thread of people, like, going, oh, what about, like, the older coaches? Well, he's kind of a frail old coach. Will he have the strength to throw the bench out on the ice tonight?
Well, I don't know how. I guess if they want to try to delay a game, I think that one is definitely more substantial than say, like, a diving or an embellishment. Right.
It's an is or an isn't.
I mean, did it go off the glass first? Did it go off another stick first? Did it, you know, who was the last person it touched? 3-on-3, you know, I think the best thing they can do for overtime right now is fix the frickin' scoring. Or the standing points, and make it a true three-point system where as soon as the game goes into OT, one team gets 2 points, one team gets 1 point. If it's not an OT, the winning team gets 3 points. But, I mean, I think that would fix a lot of OT issues.
That's a rule that makes sense, thus it will never happen.
At least not why Bettman's commissioner.
Stop making sense. We make millions.
All right, so... we got some stuff coming up this weekend, as we kind of talked about earlier. We got back-to-back and back-to-back. You know, it starts off on the road with back-to-backs against the Leafs and the Islanders. We got 2 days off, and then followed up by another pair of back-to-backs, this time at home against the Flames and Kings. With the exception of the Leafs, who have lost their last 5 games, all teams are either in a playoff position or barely looking in, fighting for a postseason spot. So essentially, we get more of the same tough teams back to backs end the season. We've talked about it earlier, but how is this going to affect the players come playoff time with this tougher schedule and with these back to backs?
I think the most interesting thing is going to be what's going to happen with Dubnyk. I don't think anyone knows at this point because he's been playing a lot of games and playing those back to backs. So I don't have an answer for that, but I'm actually looking forward to seeing what Yo. Ends up doing, because it's going to be I think it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a point of discussion, because what happens if you know, Kemper comes in and wins,
right?
How does that change things?
Well, it goes back to the whole defensive problem too, especially with these back-to-backs and tough schedules. I mean, anybody's likely to get hurt right now as well.
Yeah, do you want them playing 80-minute games 2 games in a row with your expansion to 20-minute periods afterwards?
Yep.
These back-to-backs would be brutal. But,
well, there was a day when the players weren't such wussies.
They also played like 10 less games a season. Yeah. Plus their playoffs didn't go to June.
Well, and, you know, they
weren't... Whose fault is that?
Quite as Batman. Fast or right. Quite as big either. Some of them were about the same size.
Yeah.
No, they're all like Spurgeon size, though. Well, maybe not that small.
Right. PMB size.
All right. Well, should we bring it to the game of the week?
Let's do it.
All right.
Last game of the week was Wilder Predators. And again, I'm on the losing end. I'm trying to make up points, and so, yeah. So, and I try to keep up making up points here, and I'm not making up anything as I continue to lose. I picked the Predators. Kenny and Jive both picked the Wild. And Jive actually picked the correct score as well. He picked 5 total goals. They obviously won 3-2. That means Jive is now at 14 points. Kenny's in the lead because he also picked the Wild at 15 points. I'm back at a lowly 7. Since I'm in last, I continue my streak of picking games of the week. And this time I'm picking the Wild at the Islanders.
Tough game.
It's going to be a tough game on the road.
Second of back-to-backs.
Second of back-to-backs, plus it's against the East, which we haven't fared very well against.
And the Islanders are still trying to, well, I mean, they're sitting in a playoff spot, but I think they're trying to retain because they've got some people on their heels right now, too.
Right. I mean, the things that are looking up for the Wild is the Wild, as of late, have been great on the road. And I think the Islanders are like something like 2-5-3 in their last 10 games.
They've started slipping a little bit. They're 3-5-2.
Okay, yeah. So
they just won one, I think, maybe tonight.
Okay. So they haven't been so sharp lately. You know, that's basically 3-7 over the last 10 games. So it's not exactly a winning record. And that bodes well for the Wild. So I'm picking the Wild. And being that the scoring has been pretty hot lately, it seems like I'm going with 7 total.
Who'd have guessed 9 against St. Louis, huh?
Right. So I'm picking the Wild. Jive, what are you picking?
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to go the opposite of you there. I'm going to have to go with the Islanders in this one. I know the last time that these two teams played, there was quite a bit of goal scoring going on. So I'm going to go with the Islanders, 7 goals. I mean, I know the Wild have been pretty hot on the road here. But this is, you know, another playoff team that's obviously going to give us a tough go at it. I do think that it will be a close game, but I think that the Wild will draw the short straw and come out on the losing end.
Yeah, that, you know, that's a very valid point, Jeff. I mean, that's back in December when the Wild were kind of in their losing phase.
It was great. That was probably right around where the turning point. I think
The beginning of December, but you're right. It was a very high-scoring game. It was 5-4, 9-point game.
Yeah.
I am going to go with the Wild winning in New York, which they're not really on the island anymore, I don't think, are they? They're in the Bronx now, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. At that weird-ass stadium.
Is that the one? That's the one that the Bronx basketball...
The Nets are at?
Yeah.
And the the scoreboard is
off-center.
Yeah. Right over the blue line, which is just bonkers.
So because of that, just because the scoreboard's off center,
it's called modern.
It's modern.
Yes.
That's so when Jive's sitting on the one side, he can see the score better. They did it just for him.
There we go. Because I always go to see games
in the Bronx.
Right.
He goes for the obstructed seats just so he can see the screen better.
I'm gonna go with 5 goals though. I think it is gonna be close. I think it's gonna be a 3-2 game, but yeah.
All right. Well, I think we've already gone over our time minute limit here.
Beat some dead horses.
I think we got a little wrapped up in the rule changes, as I think everyone kind of does when the NHL decides they want to change something.
Got a little heated.
Everybody's got an opinion on rule changes.
Yep. But you know, when I'm not live tweeting Wild games for 3 in the Box, and again, that's at 3 in the Box on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter, my personal account, that's at Aaron3ITB, where I tweet about hockey and some beer in there and some music and some pinball.
Beer here.
Kenny.
Yeah, and you know, I usually try to tweet with Aaron over here during the games when I'm free. But otherwise you can follow me on Twitter at RottenK999, you know, audio and live music stuff and hockey stuff and a lot of retweets of fun stuff that I like.
Awesome. Jive.
Yeah. You can follow me. I'm also on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight. Have a good night, folks.
Hello.